Sports with Faxon Childress and John Hite.
Rattler awaits a shotgun snap, gets it. Blitz coming, pressure coming. Barrett Carter getting it and sacking Rattler.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 0.6 seconds remaining.
He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, what a play by Mike Williams. A touchdown of 19 yards. I mean, he put Jamarcus King on his back and gave that chicken a ride.
Free throw shooter.
Clark in a straight shot. Oh, he didn't need to do that. He threw it away. King put this.
To the sideline, caught, first down.
Woo! What a hit, Denzel Ward. You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Well, there's Chase Hunter, 2 seconds, one. Launches a three, good if it goes, it does! Chase Hunter, the three, at the buzzer, sends Clemson into the locker room, up 10, 35, 25.
A double pumper. That was a double pump shot.
That was another one from the band down by the river.
Now, let's go live to Faxon Childress and John Hite.
We welcome you in, everybody, to the Tuesday edition of Facts on Sports with Faxon Childress and John Hite right here on 105.5-97.5 The Roar. It is Tuesday, September 23rd, 2025. We are glad to have you with us here on the program. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines are open. Adams & Co. Roofing text line is open. And we got a lot to discuss on the program today, so we would love for you guys to join us. We're obviously going to be continuing to talk Clemson football to a certain degree. What went wrong this past weekend against the Syracuse Orange at home? Talk a little bit more general college football with some other good games on the slate in week four. Talk some NFL week three recap, including a great Monday night football game last night where the Lions won a shootout on the Ravens. The Ravens are averaging 37 points per game and are last in their division. Unfathomable how bad that defense is right now. I think it has a little bit to do with injuries, but still, got to find a way to toughen up and play some better defense in Baltimore. So if you guys have questions, comments, analysis, and more, 654-ROAR, we would absolutely love to hear from you. John, how was your Monday night after we got off the airwaves? Did you enjoy Monday Night Football? I'm sure you did as a Steelers fan, right?
As a Steelers fan, I very much enjoyed Monday Night Football. As a fantasy football owner of Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers, and the Ravens defense, I was very upset with last night. It was a little bit of both. I won and I lost all at the same time.
Yes. I was watching the game last night, and my main thought in the second half was, wow, this might be Lamar Jackson's worst half of football as a quarterback in the last 2 to 3 years. I don't even think that's an exaggeration. I got to give an immense amount of credit to the defensive coordinator and just the defense in general for Detroit. They had Lamar in a body bag for like the last 15 to 17 game minutes of that game. Now, obviously, Derrick Henry fumbling also had a big impact on the game. He fumbles every week at this point. And, John, you're shaking your head.
He's 3 fumbles in 3 games.
He lost Sam his fantasy matchup, too. So Sam was in the living room last night giving Derrick Henry the business at the television. Also, can we not score from the 1-yard line with Derrick Henry for the second straight week? Have we not heard in Baltimore of the jumping over the line strategy with our giant running back? Is that not...
I have no idea. It is shocking to see. But also, I know you are not a believer in the Detroit Lions. No, I got to give credit where credit's due, man. They ran the mess out of the football last night.
No, they did. And I'm concerned about Baltimore at 654-ROAR if you guys want to get on Monday Night Football. I picked Baltimore to win the Super Bowl this year. I picked Baltimore to be the AFC representative. With the injury situation on defense right now, this team is nowhere close to a contender. And you're exactly right, John, about... just so consistently the Lions were able to get to the second level of the defense in the run game, and that's where Montgomery and Gibbs are dangerous because they're two different profile backs, right? You get Gibbs in the open field, and you have to worry about the horizontal, the side-to-side, the lateral quickness, and the ability to juke out defenders. But Montgomery got to the second level last night, shook a safety off of him, went 72 yards to set them up once again. So I got to give credit where it's due to the Lions, man. I'm not high on the team this year, but I was impressed. They beat a really good Baltimore team. And, you know, Jared Goff played efficient football last night. When you can run the ball on early downs and have success in doing such, it makes your quarterback's life so much easier. And that's what the Lions did all night. So shout out to the Lions.
I think the Ravens are the same team they've always been.
They're flawed,
you
man.
They cannot close it out against a top flight team. I mean, I go back to week one. To let Buffalo score 22 in the fourth?
Blow a 15-point lead in three and a half game minutes?
Like, I think there are issues in Baltimore that are probably being excused away by a one-point loss and an eight-point loss, but you should not have let Buffalo come back and win that game.
Buffalo had no business winning that game.
No, none whatsoever. And so guess what's up next for the Baltimore Ravens? On a short week now, they're going to Kansas City. And a Kansas City Chiefs team that, albeit maybe Travis Kelce and Andy Reid aren't on the same page, but that team's starting to figure it out a little bit.
Yeah, they are.
I think it's another time when, correct me if I'm wrong, I didn't get the watch the entirety of this game. Got bits and pieces. What's up with the splits with the receivers? I'm a little surprised to just, like I said, was in and out of this game. Didn't watch it, you know, all the way through. That Mark Andrews and Rashad Bateman should not be out target sharing by a significant number over DeAndre Hopkins and Zay Flowers. And I guess you give credit to Detroit for shutting some of that down, but I don't know, man. I still have some questions about Lamar in this big moment. But then again, Derrick Henry fumbling the football, so you know, yeah. Who knows what you actually would have done there.
I actually think probably the most impressive, and Lamar goes 21 for 27, 288 yards, three touchdowns. The second half was rough, missed some receivers. He was getting sacked a lot, took seven sacks on Lamar Jackson yesterday.
What does he think he is, Jackson Arnold?
And that was going to lead me to my point, which is, the defensive line for Detroit is my biggest stock up of this entire football game. Whether it was Aiden Hutchinson peanut punching the football out from Derrick Henry from behind, whether it was the seven sacks to bring Lamar Jackson to the ground, or the constant pressure they were able to get in the second half. To further that point, how about stifling Derrick Henry to 50 yards on the ground and 4.2 yards per pop? That's the biggest takeaway I have from Detroit. I've got an immense amount of confidence they're going to be able to run the ball this year. I didn't know they were going to be able to slow down the run like that from a team that's as prolific with their ground and pound attack like Baltimore. But on the target share thing, I totally agree with you. It looked like they were sending a lot of eyeballs in the direction of Zay Flowers, and they were having to settle with going to Andrews and going to Bateman. And in Bateman's credit, Bateman felt like he was open all night. They just couldn't get Flowers or Nuke Hopkins going.
So, I know you have been probably the number one person here saying that the Detroit Lions were going to regress mightily with the loss of both of their coordinators. Through 3 weeks, do you still feel that way?
I do. I still think this is the third best team in the division. I'm going to take the Packers over them. I'm going to take the Vikings over them going forward. I think
I would take the Packers because we do have the data point. I still think this team is better than Minnesota. I feel like when you get some tape out on Carson, that's probably something we're just never going to see eye to eye on, is the level at which Carson Wentz can play football. Like, I think that has a very short shelf life. Like, we see it a lot of times in the NFL when you bring in a new guy, he has like one or two games where things really pop, where you don't have a lot of tape and you're playing with a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
And I'm not doubting O'Connell here. I just think there's a lot more issues at play in Minnesota than there are in Detroit right now. Like, their ability to play quality defense and run the football, I think, can get them out of a lot of tough spots over the course of the season.
My thing with Minnesota and why I love them so much is just the completion of the roster. Like, for me, it's not really a Wentz thing. I just need a warm body, not named JJ. You could give me just a league replaceable average quarterback with Kevin O'Connell, and I would believe in this team, because through eight quarters of football, they have one good quarterback quarter. And it was the fourth quarter from J.J. McCarthy. Then they get Wentz in there, and Wentz didn't do anything special this past weekend. He just needs to manage the game and check the ball down and not turn the ball over. But this defense in Minnesota, man, this defense might be a top three defense in the league. And when I say regress for Detroit, it's also important to remember this team won 15 games last year, right? Projecting regression would mean that they win less than 15 games. I said in the preseason, I think they're hovering around the 10-11 wild card line. It's still where I'm at. I think they're going to win 10 or 11 games. They're going to be the wild card team in this division in which one of Minnesota or Green Bay win it. I still think the Bears are going to end up flirting with 8-9 wins as well as a result of that. So this division's just really good. It's really complete in my opinion. But when I look at this Minnesota team, it's not really about Wentz versus JJ versus whoever's playing quarterback. This is a team that's averaging 5.1 yards per carry on the ground with Jordan Mason. This is a team that just got their franchise left tackle back in Christian Darrisaw. A team that's got a top three defense in the National Football League. So for me, I'm just buying the completion of Minnesota's roster, combined with O'Connell, who I think is a genius. But it's nothing against the Lions, who I still think are a good football team that finds a way into the playoffs. I said in the preseason, this is the best division in the league to me, and I don't even think there's a close competitor.
I think it's certainly up there. Here's going to be my pushback here with these with the Vikings. At this point of the season, in the NFL specifically, I think we have too many teams in college that it makes it a little more difficult to do this. Like, I don't look at like top five in this or top five in that because of what we have with the data points are a little all over the place right now. Like, yeah. For example, the Minnesota Vikings absolutely annihilated the Cincinnati Bengals. That Bengals team is quit. Second Joe Burrow got injured, they don't care about playing football anymore.
Yeah, they're terrible, man.
They got annihilated 22-6 by a team that got blanked by the Carolina Panthers.
This is true.
And you have a nice 3-point win over a team in Chicago that's playing football. I'm not gonna say playing good football. They're playing football. So I am holding a lot of pause with Minnesota here. Now the good thing is, we'll find out on Sunday how they do against my Pittsburgh Steelers very early over there in Ireland. I believe that's this weekend.
Yeah.
And then they have another game internationally against the Browns coming up. So we're going to get some interesting windows. And then you get to face them on October 19th with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, and apparently
I think that they've handled what they're supposed to do. I guess right now they're 2-1. I just don't see it here long-term with the Vikings. I think that you've got some really good defenses down the road that are going to be able to turn them into one-dimensional and have their way with Carson Wentz.
I like my Vikes, man. I like my Vikes. And I will say my main concern, too, is JJ getting politics back into the game. And I think that there is a reality that happens the week of the Eagles game, which is week 7, because that's when he's on track to return. Kevin O'Connell's already come out and announced that Carson Wentz will be taking the helm as the starting quarterback for both games across the pond. So they're going to go to Ireland. Wentz is going to be the starter against the Steelers. They're going to go to London to play in Tottenham Stadium. And Wentz is going to be the starter against the Cleveland Browns, which, speaking of good defenses, that might be the best in the National Football League right now, what they fielded out in Cleveland. And Jim Schwartz, that's just an absolute force when they get those guys at home. So definitely exciting stuff there. Quick note on the Ravens before we dive a little deeper into the NFL, before we go college football for today. Our intern, Nick Costello, he's sitting in today. He always sends me some cool stats. The Ravens have scored 104 points. They are 1-2. They are the only team since 2000 to have scored 100-plus points through 3 weeks but have a losing record. The other 25 teams with 100-plus points through 3 weeks went a combined 68-7. Think about that. 68-7 for the 25 teams that have hit this quota in the last 25 years, and the Ravens are sitting at 1-2. They need to get healthy, and they need to just tighten up on defense. We can use the health excuse to a certain degree. It's the National Football League, man. Your reserves are supposed to be starting caliber players in the NFL. You got to step up and play better football, especially in the trenches if you're Baltimore. There's no excuse for that. So no doubt in my mind that Baltimore can hang 30 on everybody they encounter. Not sure they could stop the Roar staff right now with the way they're playing defense. Just kind of the reality of the situation. All right, before we take a quick break, do want to dive a little bit deeper into the NFL. We have a lot of storylines to talk about, and we have a lot of games to kind of break down. So we're going to put a pin in this and come back to it on the other side. But, John, your guys got to win this past weekend. And my guys got to win this past weekend. To be fully candid with the audience, I'm not sure either of them were all that deserved, but we were able to pull them out by the skin of our teeth. What was it? I want to say the Steelers were getting outgained at one point in the second through fourth quarters, 300-50. But you want to know what they did? That defense was flying to the freaking football, and they turned the Patriots over five times. Unbelievable resilience by the defense for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They were able to get a big win, and two of those turnovers coming at Drake May's expense, which we love. And then the Eagles just pulled some absolute BS out of their hat with multiple blocked field goals, including one return for a touchdown. And if you had a Rams plus 3.5 ticket on Sunday, I'll keep you in my prayers, because goodness gracious, I've never seen a worse beat than that. Quick break here on the program with Faxon and John. We're talking NFL on the other side, breaking down the games from this past weekend.
Attention listeners, are you ready to drop up to 20 pounds or more by the new year? Well, at PhD Weight Loss, they've cracked the code with the Metabolic Reset System. Their science-backed method that gets your body to burn fat first, not sugar. Plus, they're the only program where they guarantee your success and your results. I can attest, I lost 24 pounds in 5 weeks. I've kept it off for years. No starving, no workouts, no risky drugs. Just a smarter system that resets your metabolism, shrinks dangerous belly fat, and keeps it off permanently. For radio listeners only, they are sweetening the pot for you by waiving your consultation fee, getting you 2 extra weeks of the program free, covering the cost of food during the program, and just for booking, you'll receive their 5 steps to reset the scale book for free. But don't wait. The guarantee and bonus package is only for the next 25 callers. Call 864-644-1900 now and mention code New Year. That's 864-644-1900. PhD Weight Loss. Reset your metabolism, lose the weight, and keep it off.
The show continues after this quick timeout.
Man, we're really having a great show today.
You know it. Hey, you coming to my house for the game?
No, because your toilet always backs up, man.
Yeah, but I'm calling Ace.
Okay, it was like 82 degrees in your house last time, and we kept popping that breaker.
That's why I'm calling Ace tomorrow.
The hardware store? I mean, you can't even use a screwdriver.
No, Ace, the one in the white and blue trucks.
Oh, right on. Okay, we're back.
For plumbing, electrical, and HVAC, visit acehomeco.com.
Straight Up Sports is simply all sports, all the time. Straight Up Sports is a collection of retired and award-winning sports writers and sports broadcasters from around South Carolina. Like Bob Gillespie from the State Newspaper, Scott Kiefer from the Greenville News, and Mark Sturges from ESPN Upstate. Straight Up Sports is about the stories, just like the days gone by with no editors nor managers involved. Check us out on Facebook or Twitter or online at straightupsports.net.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of 2 national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
Golf Cart Service is a family-owned and operated club car dealer for the past 55 years. If you are looking to purchase a new, used, or reconditioned cart, we have financing options available. Have an older cart? We take trade-ins toward your new purchase. Buy American and beat the tariffs. With our mobile service truck, we can maintain your club car golf cart for years to come. Visit golfcartsc.com and view our inventory. We are located at the intersection of Highway 221 and Highway 295 in Spartanburg. Call us at 864-574-4616 today.
Serving delicious meals at a fair price for over 50 years, Wendy's commitment to good done right is unwavering. For decades, they've served up great deals to feed the whole family. And nowadays, they're bringing you breakfast favorites. The pretzel baconator, the biggie bag, and you can't forget the frosty. All available to order in the palm of your hands with the Wendy's app. Doing the right thing in the right way is the Wendy's way. Download the Wendy's app and visit your local store today.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
At Cherokee Outfitters in Gaffney, we carry Western and workwear as well as boots for men, women, and children. We also carry clothes for tactical, fire retardant, nurses, hunting, shooting, and fishing gear and supplies. Looking for firearms or ammo? We have a large selection to choose from. Make Cherokee Outfitters your go-to store for everything outdoors. Visit us today at 370 Petroid Road, exit 90, on I-85.
Injured in a wreck and now the insurance company's ghosting you? Classic move. They're quick to collect premiums, but when you need help, disappeared. I'm Trey Mills with the Tram 1 Mills Law Firm. We don't chase, we confront. You call us and we bring the pressure, loud and legal. What's up, QB? We're about to ring your bell. We may talk a little trash, but we back it up with action. Call 864-485-8585 or visit tram1mills.com. Tram 1 Mills, we don't do quiet.
Life doesn't wait, and neither should you. Aleve can help you deal with pain less throughout your day. Whether it's a long day on your feet, a demanding workout, or everyday aches and pains, you need relief that can keep up when pain persists. Aleve is here for you with longer-lasting body pain relief compared to leading OTC-branded pain relievers. With just one pill, Aleve lasts up to 12 hours. Don't let those aches hold you back from doing what's important to you. Use as directed.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
We welcome you back in. Facts on Sports with Faxon Childress and John Height continues right here on 105.5, 97.5, The Roar. 654 Roar is the number. Going to be talking primarily NFL here in hour number one, shifting gears to college football, Clemson football, and more in the final 2 hours of the program. Would love for you to check in with us if you've got a favorite team, if you've got a matchup from this past weekend you want to comment on, 654 Roar, and we will get to it. A couple more things on the Vikings before we put them in the back door because to be honest, there's no point in talking about a 48-10 win other than Isaiah Rodgers quite literally had the greatest defensive game in the history of the National Football League. That's not an exaggeration. That is, like, confirmed. I've never in my life seen a defensive performance like what that young man put on tape this past Sunday. And if you guys were not tuned into the Vikings game, this one was pretty much over before it started, and Carson Wentz's life was made very, very easy as the first-time starter for the Minnesota Vikings because Isaiah Rodgers had 2 forced fumbles, an interception, 2 touchdowns. He allowed 1 total catch for 2 yards, had an additional pass breakup, and his passer rating against him was 2.8. His PFF grade, John, was 99.9, which is the highest graded game in the history of the National Football League per PFF. Unbelievable performance from Rodgers. He made great individual plays. But here's the thing I really want to talk about with this whole quarterback situation. Kevin O'Connell gave a couple interesting nuggets in his post-game press conference after Sunday, including but not limited to, he was asked if J.J. McCarthy, if he's 100% committed to playing J.J. McCarthy when J.J. McCarthy is playing and when he's healthy and available to play, rather. And Kevin O'Connell said, that doesn't require an answer on that question today. And now, there's more reports coming out from insiders around the Minnesota beat saying, from everything the head coach said pertaining to the QB situation, we can safely conclude that it's on the table. We could see Wentz starting for a while, possibly even for a long while. If the veteran QB operates the offense similarly over the next 3 weeks and the team keeps winning, it will be impossible for him to bench Wentz, particularly with a locker room full of veteran players who came to Minnesota to win, rallying around Wentz, not developing McCarthy's 10,000 hours. So again, don't think Wentz is a world beater, especially at age 32 in this stage in his career. This ain't 2017 Carson before the ACL tear and the bad back, etc. But if you give Kevin O'Connell a warm body and a game manager like Sam Darnold, there's a good chance they can win a lot of games. I still think they can win a decent amount of games with McCarthy, even with how bad he is. They were able to beat the Bears. So last thing on the program today for the Vikings. But John, let's go to your guys first. I watched the entirety of this one. Steelers 21, Patriots 14. This was a really gritty and timely situational football type performance from your Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, they were on their heels for the majority of the second half, to be candid, but the defense made big time plays and big time moments, able to punch the football out when they needed the most. And you're 2-1 in Pittsburgh in the Aaron Rodgers era.
I have a lot of questions for Mike Vrabel. One, why does Ramondre Stevenson get the football?
Yeah, why is he playing?
that guy is a walking liability on the football field. I am very much looking forward to talk to Grayson about this later in the week, but I think that's where they lost the game, was continuing to give him the football. I mean, he put it on the ground twice, lost both of them. Gibson wasn't any better. And Drake May stinks. So, yeah, yes. that was fairly evident in the game on Sunday. But the Steelers' defense was opportunistic. I don't think they played great. They were opportunistic.
Yeah.
And you give credit where it's due. I think that they are getting better at stopping the run with the insert of the first-round pick, Derek Harmon, now finally getting back from injury. I still think the offense has a way to go. I was pleased with how they were running it, more or less. I don't think that you have a quality running back in Pittsburgh right now. I think Warren and Gainwell are nice complementary pieces, not lead pieces, but I think this is a work in progress. You know, this isn't a style of offense that Aaron Rodgers, who's been playing football for 30-something years, has never played in. Like the two tight end sets, the way that they're trying to use Jonnu Smith and move all these different pieces around, I it's going to take him a little bit of time still to get comfortable with this, to get fully comfortable with Arthur Smith. I think the offensive line is still a work in progress. The tackles are not very good. But you went on the road and you got to win. And it looks even better right now that you are 2-1 with the Baltimore Ravens now at 1-2, and they're going off to face the Chiefs. Meanwhile, you get to play Carson Wentz on Sunday. So I'm feeling very good right now. Obviously, the Bengals are eliminated. I think we can go ahead and eliminate them from playoff contention right now.
They have massive foundational flaws with their roster and organization. They've allocated their funds in an extremely stupid way. And Burrow got left out there to die, and now Browning's out there to die. Listen, the guy played like crap on Sunday, John, but and Chase Brown, who we heard a lot about, and you heard a lot about specifically, I'll give you your flowers here. Guy's averaging 2 yards per carry because their offensive line can't block. Like, this is what happens when you don't invest in an offensive line. You can't run the ball, you can't protect the quarterback, and you can't play defense. So what do? You lose.
Like I said last year, I love T. Higgins. I would have paid fat people over paying T. Higgins.
Yep.
Chase Brown on the year. For all those who came at me all offseason when I was talking about not that many elite running backs and the amount of texts that I got about Chase Brown, which is absurd, through three games, he has 47 carries and 93 yards.
Terrible. That's 2 yards a pop, 2 yards a carry.
He's averaging 31 yards a game. But please, 6'5" Roar, continue to tell me why I don't know ball because Chase Brown's elite.
Chase Brown is a...
And immediately we got a text. Immediately. He was so good. Like, no, he's not. He's not a good football player. He's a volume back.
He gets
volume.
He's a fantasy demon, and he's a PPR demon because he's like the receiving back, so he gets a ton of points when he gets those screens and those dump-off passes. But until Cincinnati invests in their offensive line and changes the philosophy with, like, constructing a roster for their football team, they're never going back to the Super Bowl. Like, even with Burrow, Chase Higgins, the most expensive tandem in NFL history on the offensive side, it does not matter. Look at the Eagles. What did the Eagles do? Built the foundation up front. What did the Lions do, who won 15 games last year, who looked really good again last night? The foundation is up front. Minnesota Vikings get their left tackle back with a good offensive line. They put up 48 immediately. There is a path to success in the NFL that has been created since the cavemen existed, right?
Right.
You have to have offensive line play to win in this league, and until the Bengals get there, they're not going to win football games. It's just as simple as that. I'm ready to put them out of sight, out of mind for the season, John. I think they're done.
Oh, I do as well. I do as well. I don't think that you're going to... When the whole thing is built around a quarterback and two wide receivers, albeit a very good quarterback and two of the best receivers in the game, when the quarterback goes down, it doesn't leave you a whole lot of room for success. So yes, they are right now with the same record as the Steelers at 2-1 on top of that division. It ain't gonna last very long.
Yeah.
So I feel great right now. I think the Browns are a Big Ten West team that's very good on defense and can't play offense.
Man.
The Ravens can't get out of their own way. I'm feeling great through 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think you should be. And let's go ahead and use that opportunity to take a moment to talk about it. As a Packers fan, I feel like we're going to make a deep run in the playoffs and possibly make it to the Super Bowl. We have to beat the teams like the Browns on the road. I know it's just the third game, but we got to be able to finish that, says Texter 157. So appreciate you getting in, Packers fan. And 13-10 Browns over Packers, walk-off field goal, crazy turnovers. This one had all the cinema down the stretch.
really fun football game to watch. And, you know, obviously you guys know Sam, who's my roommate and best friend. He's a big Browns fan, so I keep up with the team. And to be honest, there's no point in rooting against the Browns. The Browns fans already suffer enough. So I throw Sam a bone here, and I root for his team occasionally. This was one of the weekends I was rooting for his team because I think the Packers are probably the primary competition for the Eagles for the one seed in the NFC right now. So big-time win for the Browns, selfishly for my Eagles, and also just a big-time win for Cleveland, man. They needed to see one go through the hoop, but yeah, the Packers really choked down the stretch in this one. I'll say this about Cleveland, man. Cleveland's going to play competitive football all year, especially at home, and Cleveland is a really, really good defensive football team, especially at home. Jim Schwartz is the most underrated coordinator in football. People don't realize how good this guy is. They don't realize the miracles he was working in Philadelphia as an Eagles defensive coordinator, even when Howie Roseman left him out to die in 2018 and 2019 with like the 28th total net spend on the defensive side of the football, and Schwartz still had those units pumping. So when you give the guy Myles Garrett and you give him a ton of these great players like Denzel Ward, who might be the best corner in the league, a couple great linebackers, Schwesinger, that draft pick's paying off already, it's no surprise, in my opinion, that Cleveland's able to lock things down. So I don't think this is a good football team in Cleveland. I don't think it's a team that has any chance to contend for the division with the way that the offense and the quarterback is rolling. But they're going to be annoyingly competitive in the majority of their games because their defense is not going to budge against many teams in this league. Really liked what I saw from them on that side of the football.
It's not going to budge, but I do think you have the potential for quit factor.
You do.
Like, as a unit. Like, if the offense continues to underdeliver, like, I have a tough time believing that Myles Garrett's going to continue to give all that effort in mid-November.
Yeah. You're going to get to a point
two wins,
where
like, it's just
the playoffs are out of mind.
Right, right. Where it's another season in Cleveland, and we have to start mentally checking out and get ready for Cavalier Soups.
Yeah. And the Cavs are going to be good this year, so shout out to Sam. Hopefully his NBA team can get it done. Quick hitter here, because I don't think there's a ton to acknowledge. Shane Steichen was not the problem. The problem was Anthony Richardson. The Colts have punted one time in three games. Daniel Jones is a legitimate MVP candidate, and none of that is false right now. I know it's 3-0. I know that we're only 3 of the 17 in, and that it was the Tennessee Titans, and the Colts haven't exactly played the world beaters or the Avengers, but the Linsanity run continues for at least one more week for Indiana Jones, and Indianapolis is firmly in the driver's seat in this division. Shout out to William Quackenbush and the Colts, man. Playing really good football right now. And listen, this is why I banged the drum for Shane for so many years. I watched him completely change the trajectory of my franchise. I think the guy's brilliant. You got to give him a quarterback that has a pulse and that can read a defense, and you're probably going to win 10-plus games. So Colts are looking good right now, and their lines of scrimmage play look much improved from last year.
Much improved up front. They took care of business. Yeah, you did not want to let the Titans get a bit of confidence. I will see. We are going to, this Sunday at 4:05, the Colts are going to get their first real test.
Yes.
At the Los Angeles Rams. Now, they have a very soft landing spot after that with home games against the Raiders and the Cardinals at the Chargers and then the Titans. So I expect this team to have maybe, one loss under their belt?
Yep.
Going into November. They're taking care of business with what's in front of them. I've been very impressed by this team, the way they're operating. Daniel Jones has been a revelation. Imagine being a New York Giants fan, being 0-3, and and Russell Wilson can't do anything correct, which, not a surprise.
They're letting him cook, and he burned down the kitchen, John.
Again, another kitchen he has destroyed. And then you're watching Daniel Jones get a cool nickname and live his best life out there in Indianapolis. I'd hate to be a New York Giants fan.
Absolutely would hate it. All right, let's talk a little Eagles football because Texer gets in and says, similar to last year, I think the Rams are the team y'all don't want to have to face in the playoffs. Yeah, 33-26 Eagles over Rams. Again, I hope you guys can respect how, number one, not obnoxious, and number two, objective I am about the Eagles. This is a flawed football team that I picked to lose this game for a reason. I'm not sure we deserve to win this one, full transparency, but the Eagles are 3-0 over three pretty darn good football teams playing like C-minus to D-plus football, especially on offense, and that much in its own is very, very encouraging for what the ceiling looks like for this team. The Eagles trailed 26-7 in this one, and Jalen Hurts went over to the offensive coordinator and ripped him a new one, and Kevin Petullo, the new OC for the Philadelphia Eagles. Want to know what happened after that, John?
The Eagles started taking vertical shots down the field to A.J. Brown, rattled off however many points, 26 unanswered points en route to a 7-point victory, concluded by that blocked field goal return for a touchdown by Jordan Davis. That's a darn good dog if I've ever seen one myself. But in all seriousness, the biggest takeaway for me in this was Jalen Hurts in the postgame press conference, and he is 100% correct in his assessment that the Eagles need to stop playing so conservative early in games and go out with the mentality ready to kill. We're going to talk a lot this week about how Clemson's inability to start games has prevented them from accomplishing the goals they wanted to accomplish in the preseason. Well, if the Eagles don't figure out a way to start being aggressive and taking more shots down the field early in games, you're going to suffer a very similar fate to what Clemson football has, and you're going to start losing, because this was a fluke win in comparison to what you want to win a game like.
Sure.
And you cannot take blocked field goals and 19-point comebacks as the standard. That's not the standard. This is the best team in football. You need to play like it early in the game, and you need to throw the ball vertically down the field early in the game to have success.
On the other side of this break, I would like to talk about one thing that a lot of our listening audience is begging us to talk about, and that another huge section of our listening audience is trying to crawl into a hole and not listen to this upcoming segment. We're talking Falcons-Panthers on the other side.
Bryce Young got somebody fired this past weekend. I have never in my life seen a mid-season wide receiver coach firing. When is the last time you've seen that? Especially after week three. We're talking Panthers-Falcons football on the other side. Get in with your comments, analysis, and more at 654-ROAR.
It's the time, Tiger fans. Football season is here. Make sure your tailgate machine is ready for the season with a trip to Pendleton Tire Company. Whether it's tires, brakes, or that lift kit and wheels you've wanted, Pendleton Tire Company can take care of all your needs.
Hey, Tiger fans, get ready for football and tailgating on a new set of tires from my daddy at the Pendleton Tire Company.
Listen to Cruz and go see his dad and the team at the Pendleton Tire Company in Pendleton or online at PendletonTire.com.
You've waited all summer for the weather to get a little cooler. Now it's getting a little cooler. Why don't you join about 2,000 of your coolest friends every Thursday night for Jazz on the Alley in downtown Seneca. It's outside dining, great live music, and you. Come on and join the party. Here's just a few sounds. Want to bring your chairs just in case, because the tables and chairs go very quickly. And then join us every Thursday night at 5:30 for the Happy Hour Artists. This is a chance for up-and-rising young emerging artists to debut their talents right here at Jazz on the Alley. It's every Thursday night. If you want to know what's happening and who's playing, it's so easy. Just follow us on Facebook at Seneca SC Events. And then grab your friends, your cool friends, and join about 2,000 of your other friends every Thursday night right here in downtown Seneca for a little jazz.
Ready to ditch a workout that involves just lifting heavy things or running on a treadmill in front of yet another screen in your life? Come climb some walls at Blockhaven, Greenville's bouldering gym, where strength and flexibility meet problem solving and community. No ropes, no harnesses, just giant padded floors, 16-foot walls, and hype music. Blockhaven has over 200 rotating routes for beginners to Olympic climbers. Visit Blockhaven at the Judson Mill District in Greenville or online at blockhaven.com.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to really find myself, to get an education, and then use it as a springboard in really launching my career. That's what the Life Scholarship did for me.
Knowing that I can go to where I want to go to, study what I want to study, having the Life Scholarship made that possible for me.
The South Carolina Education Lottery. A better you, a better us, a better South Carolina. Visit sceducationlottery.com/better you.
Samantha Porter, environmental educator, ready to encourage you. Pizza boxes, shipping and packaging boxes, appliance boxes are all examples of cardboard that is easy to recycle. Did you know that every school in Anderson County recycles their cardboard? And you can too. Did you know that cardboard generates the most recycling dollars, which allows our convenience centers to remain open and free to our residents? Anderson County Solid Waste is here to serve and help. 260-1001.
When reliability matters, trust American Doormasters to keep your business running smoothly. Is your garage door opener broken? We specialize in diagnosing and fixing issues quickly and professionally, all at a great price. From broken springs to complete installations, our expert team has the upstate of South Carolina covered. Don't let a faulty door disrupt your operations. Call today 864-990. 3075. American Door Masters for all your garage door needs and experience top-notch service.
Your food is best when you know where it comes from. AMPM Farms offers beef raised here in the upstate, along with 70 vendors featuring raw milk, farm and dairy products, and more. Weekly wild game and burger flights. AMPM Farms is providing your family the very best. Plan your next meal, cookout, or tailgate with AMPM Farms. 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville, and Travelers Rest, 164 South Main in Fountain Inn, 3085 Allen Bridge Road. Online, ampmfarmsbutcheryandmarket.com.
Have you considered the legacy you'll leave behind for your family? The staff at Green Law Firm is here to help you create a legacy you'll be proud of. The best time to plan for the future is now. Whether it's a straightforward will, power of attorney, family trust, or another option, David Green is here to guide you in choosing the right path for you and your loved ones. Call today, 864-271-7940, or visit greenlaw.legal so he can start planning your family's legacy together.
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. The Beacon has served over 300 menu selections of burgers, barbecue, chicken, fish, and more for over 70 years. Jerry, what's been the most popular?
Chili cheese, I ain't flat, I need flounder. Cheeseburger like a burger, make it cry. Give me a bacon whip, no trim.
Had a feeling you'd say that. Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In, John B. White Senior Boulevard in Spartanburg.
Hey, flat, I.
Fall means football, and the Tigers roar loudest here.
Klubnik takes a shotgun snap, back to throw, going to throw it leap, down long, there's Wesco, catches it at the 40, off the races, he goes, touchdown, Wesco from 76.
This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
We welcome you back in. It's the final segment of the first hour. Facts and Childress, John Hite, continuing with Facts on Sports right here on 105.5, 97.5, The Roar. Folks, we're getting into cold weather season. Enjoy those cozy nights. Make the most of the winter season with the efficient and reliable choice of natural gas. At Fort Hill Natural Gas, they've got you covered. Whether it's keeping your home warm, heating your water, or firing up the grill, natural gas is clean, cost-effective, and always there when you need it. During football season, the cold weather months, let Fort Hill Natural Gas keep your family comfortable and your energy bills low by visiting FHNGA.com today. On that front, I am so ready for the weather to be cold. Goodness gracious. So sick of the heat. Why? It was like 85 degrees this past weekend. Stop. We're in late September. Is it too much to ask for 65 and a breeze? Maybe a little wind chill with it?
In the upstate of South Carolina in late September, yes it is.
Gosh, man, I want the cold weather here, but I know I'm probably in the minority there. All right, in all seriousness, speaking of cold, the Falcons' offense was ice cold this past weekend, and they got blanked by the Carolina Panthers.
Wait, say that again?
They got blanked by the Carolina Panthers. Shut out. The Panthers.
But that must mean if the Panthers scored 30 and the Falcons scored zero, that Bryce Young had a lot of passing yards and touchdowns, right?
No, he didn't even have to do anything. They just rolled the ball out. Bryce Young played well. All he had to do was manage the game. He didn't even have to do anything. The Falcons, let me get this straight. All right, I've got a couple points to make here. Number one, the Panthers are now winning their last. If you take away the first drive, the opening drive of the third quarter where the Cardinals went down and scored a touchdown, from that point onwards, the Panthers have beat their opponents in the last six quarters of football 49-0. That feels worth acknowledging to some certain degree. There is something happening in Carolina on the defensive side of the ball that checks out on tape, that checks out with the stats, that checks out with the PFF grading. Ivero has got something figured out on defense. Their corners are grading out as the best tandem in the NFL right now. There's something happening in Carolina. Okay, there's something happening in Carolina. I want to preface my comments by saying that. However, if you have four top 10 picks, which is what the Atlanta Falcons have, four top 10 picks that you have invested in your offense in the last five seasons, and you score 0 points in an NFL game, there need to be people on the unemployment line come Monday morning. And in all honesty, it shouldn't have just been the wide receivers coach. I don't call for a job of a coach unless I genuinely believe malpractice is transpiring. What Zach Robinson is doing to the offense in Atlanta is a war crime to Falcons fans everywhere. This is horrific. Absolutely horrific. And you know what? Penix played like crap, and he made some bad decisions, and Bijan didn't have his best game, and there were some drops from Darnell Mooney, and Drake London's a little bit banged up. All of that can be true. This is a putrid, putrid offensive scheme. They do not accentuate the skill sets of their playmakers. They do not put their young quarterback in a position to succeed with down and distance. They do not group formations with any level of consistency. They run way too many sets out of the pistol. Why are we rolling our left-handed quarterback out to the right to where he has to reset his body to throw the football every time? Listen, man, I'm not a Falcons fan, and I expressed questions and concerns with this team in the offseason for one reason and one reason alone. I said I did not trust their offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson. I think he needs to be fired, and I don't really understand what could be going through the organization's mind to continue on this route with him as their OC. Falcons fans, get in with me on the text line and vent. Tell me what you think went wrong, because my friends, I'm from the metro Atlanta area, as all y'all know. All my friends are Falcons fans, and they're blowing up the group chat this past weekend with 50 million different reasons that things went wrong, and the word rock bottom repeatedly got used. Is this rock bottom? I know 28-3 sucked, but at least you made it to the Super Bowl and you came back with a really darn good team. John, it feels like they've made all these premier picks, all these investments in quarterbacks, receivers, running backs in the top 10. This thing is broken right now in Atlanta. This might be rock bottom. Your thoughts?
This isn't rock bottom. You're not there yet. You're only 3 weeks in. You ain't at rock bottom yet. Rock bottom would be losing to the Commanders, then the Bills, then the Niners. And boy, don't lose to the Dolphins at the end of October. That's rock bottom. I mean, that's probably one of the worst teams in football. You got games against the Saints coming up. Don't lose those. They're atrocious. There's a lot more room for rock bottom here for the Atlanta Falcons. We're only scratching the surface because we're only 3 weeks into this thing.
This thing is bad right now.
You have the
now,
Commanders
man.
And the Bills in your next two games. Newsflash, I don't think it's going to go very well for you. Niners, Dolphins, Patriots. Maybe you can win 2 out of 3. Don't feel great about that. And so then now you're looking in the back in November and the rest of the way. This is still the Atlanta Falcons.
It is.
It's the Falcons. Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed.
Bryce Young improves to 3-1 against the Falcons in his career, prevented him from making the playoffs last year in that last game, then turns around and beats him 30-0 again this year. If nothing else, the guy knows how to beat the Falcons at minimum. He didn't even have to do anything in this one. His defense balled out.
He sees Atlanta, and it's like he's seeing Auburn.
No, seriously, yeah. That's the same. It's the same vibes. Like, Bryce Young has got an opponent that he owns, so we're one step in the right direction for Bryce. But in all seriousness, you guys know that I played Panthers over 6.5 pretty heavily. This is a team that I, you know, invested in the offseason for a multitude of reasons. And in large part, one of my takes was that I anticipated a step up on the defensive side of the football because the bar was legitimately in hell last year. It could not have been worse on defense last year than it was for the Carolina Panthers, but they seem to have upped their level of intensity on that side of the ball. They're playing hard. The Tet McMillan pick, I supported it in real time for this exact reason. Bryce has an actual legitimate number one for the first time in his career. The rest of these guys are still practice squad guys that he's throwing to, and they're winning football games. After Tet McMillan, here are the top target receivers for Carolina this past Sunday. Tommy Trimble, Bryson Tremaine, Jatavion Sanders, Mitchell Evans, Rico Dowdle, David Moore, Hunter Renfrow, and Chuba Hubbard. This is not a very good supporting cast right now in its current rendition, but they are still able to win football games, and they're doing a good job of progressing on the offensive side of the ball. I'll continue to maintain, until Coker gets back, just keep playing buddy ball with Tet McMillan and try and find Renfrow whenever he can wiggle open in the slot, because Bryce doesn't have a lot of help or a lot of time right now. But big credit where it is due. The backup offensive lineman played vastly better than the starting offensive lineman for Carolina. So maybe you just need to play whoever's in the best form and play best player available at that point, because I don't want to see Austin Corbett on the field ever again in Carolina as far as I'm concerned.
If you're a Falcons fan, does that make you feel worse about the investments made on the interior in the pass rush?
Well, this is
when you're going up against the backups in Carolina?
This is exactly why I said the Falcons fans were expressing a lot of confidence for a team that hasn't really proven a lot or made the playoffs in a couple years for trading their first-round pick this year. And here you are making mid-season firings without a first-round pick. And you traded your first-round pick to get pick 26. I just never agreed with the logic of the pick valuation, because now this could end up being a top 10 pick that you shipped off. This has a chance to be a nightmare for the Atlanta Falcons. And Falcons fans, I'm not trying to rip you at home. I want better for your team, and I want better for your fans, because I know you deserve it. And I know this fan base has been through a lot throughout the last decade or so. Really, probably the entire existence of everybody listening where you've been a Falcons fan. The roster is not the problem here. It is not. The roster is not the problem. You have the offensive infrastructure in place to be able to put up points. You have enough on defense to at least be an average to above average unit in the NFL, and your roster should be yielding you 8 to 9 wins at absolute minimum. With the current makeup of this team, I'm not sure I see that right now for Atlanta. This thing is broken. Zach Robinson needs to be fired, and there needs to be a new offensive direction on that side of the football in Atlanta, Georgia, immediately. Immediately. I think this is a massive, massive problem in a very poorly coached football team, starting at the top with Raheem Morris and going down on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, no, it's broken. It's broken. And, you know, for you talking about the picks, what I'm coming over everything. What did James Pierce do in this game?
Is he even in the box score?
No, he's not. He's he's recorded statistics in one of three games so far this year.
Yeah. I came in on the Monday morning. I was out in Idaho at the time after the NFL draft, and I said that that was one of the dumbest decisions I've ever seen a team make. And Falcons fans were like, we're addressing position of need. I get it. If the bottom falls out of this thing, you're going to really hate not having your first-round pick this year.
Right. And I think just body language alone from some of these guys on offense, it looked broken on Sunday.
Coaching. Coaching is the problem in Atlanta. I'm a firm believer of that. I still believe in Michael Penix Jr. I've always been a little bit conflicted on how to evaluate him because of the injury history, right? It comes with a little bit of caution, but I think he's a talented player. Go back and turn on some Washington tape, for the love of God, Zach Robinson. You're turning the guy into check down Charlie. That's not what he is. He wants to beam the ball up the field. This guy's got a bazooka attached to his left shoulder. And you want him to be checking the ball down in the flat repeatedly and rolling out to his right out a pistol? Like, it just doesn't even make logical sense. I know I'm not a football coach, but some of this is just common sense stuff, man, in Atlanta. On the other side of things, Texter gets in and Jed says, Carolina's gotten a lot better. We have a ton of pro Panthers texts. The last six quarters have been encouraging. And I will say, you still need to get healthy on both sides of the football, but the most encouraging part of this game to me was the fact that Chuba Hubbard was able to get 4.3 yards a pop on the ground. If you can get Bryce anywhere between 4 and 5 yards a carry out of his run game, you have a good chance to win a lot of football games this year. You need to alleviate some of the pressure off of him, because the supporting cast around him isn't good enough to make the playoffs right now in its current rendition. You need Coker back. You probably should have kept Thielen and or are trading for another receiver slash tight end now that Jatavion Sanders has allegedly picked up an injury as well. So just add it to the list for Bryce Young, who can't buy a break. But John, the reason I really do like the upcoming slate for this Carolina Panthers team is their next four games combined record of their opponents is 2-10. You have the 1-2 Patriots, the 0-3 Miami Dolphins. The next game you turn around and you're back at home against the 1-2 Dallas Cowboys, and then you're going on the road to the 0-3 New York Jets, who might be starting Tyrod Taylor. I will say this on Carolina. For a team I invested in this offseason that has already dealt with so much injury, adversity, and just general nuisance throughout the course of three games, this is your chance to stake your claim. This is your chance to prove that the last six games of last season and these last six quarters of football this season were not a fluke. I get you're banged up. I get your supporting cast is legitimately being patched together off the practice squad. And that's not an exaggeration, because they're trying out more practice squad guys this morning to play wide receiver. You need to find a way to at least go 2-2 in your next four games and tread water while you get healthy and get Coker back in the mix, because there's some advantageous elements to this schedule down the stretch as well. You still have two games remaining against the Saints. You own the Falcons and you get to play them once again. The 49ers, I think there's a lot of unknown there, even with them being 3-0. There are winnable games on your schedule, but you're not getting an easier four-game stretch than this the rest of the way, and I think it's imperative for Carolina to capitalize on it, John, moving forward. Your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I think they're going to win their next few ball games here. But I still think Tampa Bay is the class of this division.
They are.
And you have two of your last three games against the Buccaneers. I don't think that's going to end well for the Panthers when you get to that part of the schedule. But I think right now they're as good as the Patriots. They're better than the Dolphins. I think they're better than the Cowboys, better than the Jets. You're better than the Saints. We already have a data point that says they're better than the Falcons by 30 points. They may be better than the Niners. Like, you may be able to be a wild card team here. I don't think you're going to win the division. I still think that's Tampa Bay, and now that they're 3-0 and you're right there at second at 1-2, it's an uphill battle. But I still think that this has the chance to be a playoff team. Now you got to go put the work in. You got to go stack some wins here.
Yeah.
But the opportunity is there, and I think for Panthers fans, you got to be excited that you have an opportunity, something that you haven't had in the last few seasons.
Yeah. You have reasons to watch. Your defense has turned the corner, apparently. I think we're going to find out a lot about this football team at 1 p.m. on Sunday. I think the Patriots are a really good test for this football team. Carolina's going to be underdogs on the road, headed up to New England. New England's facing some identity issues right now with penalties and discipline. I mean, John, that team is so sloppy. I know you watched this past weekend. The Patriots are really undisciplined, especially for a Mike Vrabel coach football team. So I think you're going to find out a lot this weekend about the Panthers, but I really hope they win this game, because I think that if they can get some momentum and some consistency, some wind in their sail, it could be very advantageous for Carolina. We'll talk a little bit more NFL and shift gears to college football in hour number two with Faxon and John right here on The Roar.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5.